Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I'd like to welcome Pastor Les McMahon, sitting right down here. Thank you so much. Our Nyarlathotep should be finished sometime next week, correct?
Wednesday.
I'm sure you noticed the carpeting, nice carpeting in there now. So that is all done, and all they have to do is now repaint and put the floorboards and toe holds and all that stuff. So it should be done next week, and our restoration will be complete. All right. Thank you to Brendan, Linda McDonald, and Nancy Jeffries for your cookie donations, whether they were materials for making our cookies or money. It helped so much. Chris and I are very appreciative of all your donations. And we had an anonymous donor give a computer to our office. So thank you very much to that donor. We are going to hopefully get it so that we can do the bulletins right at the office and send it to the printer, and it should make things a little bit easier for us. So thank you very much to that person. Gift card orders are due next Sunday if you would like to order gift cards. They will be delivered to you by the following Sunday, which is Mother's Day. So if you're thinking of giving mom something nice, a nice gift card, please think about that next Sunday. Turn it in, and I'll get it to you by the next one. Swiss date is May 8th, Thursday, May 8th. See Dave McDonald if you have not seen him already to help out with that. We have our consistory meeting next Sunday instead of the second Sunday because of Mother's Day. So consistory members, make note of that. We'll be meeting next Sunday. We want to thank Dick for taking care of our cemetery driveway. Thank you very much. He churned it up and brought up all the gravel to the top so it looks much better and better to drive on. So thank you very much, Dick, for doing that. And last but not least, we have a meeting right after church. Our consistory congregation, and we'll be voting on our church name going forward from here. So please stay seated right after church, and we'll get into that. And last but not least, we've been doing real good up until now, but we have the wrong song in there for the chancel choir. We will not be singing Faith Unlocks the Door. We're going to sing How Long Has It Been, so forgive us for that one, but we've been doing really good so far, so one small glitch. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to make?
There's a new sign-up sheet for greeters and a liturgist out on the bulletin board.
Please sign up. Greeters are really easy, and liturgists, not too bad either, so, and I'm sure hospitality would appreciate any more sign-ups out there as well. Any other announcements? All right, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I am thankful to be with you today. My wife, she's involved in some classes at our church, so she wasn't able to be with me today, but today I'll be filling the pulpit today, and I am glad to be with you. It's a wonderful day that the Lord has made, and I think you should rejoice and be glad in it, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a few names on the prayer requests. Donna has requested Sally Leakin.
Yes.
And then there's just a single name, a prayer for Bruce. And Joan has requested prayers for Linda Pulowski. And finally, there are prayer requests for Carol Hall. Any others? Yes?
Belma Boss. She's hoping to be back in church by the end of May.
Well, that's good.
So she's worked, she had a problem with her legs, then she broke her wrist, so now she can't drive. So she's waiting until that gets healed, and hopefully she's crossing her fingers she can come near the end of May.
Now, remember when I broke my wrist, I called my hairdresser and I said, I need an emergency perm, because I couldn't use both hands, and, you know, I can't do anything with my left hand. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did. Okay, others. Yeah, Pat.
Tracy Mack.
I'm sorry, what, please?
Tracy Mack.
Tracy Mack. I first heard crazy. I knew that couldn't be it. Any others? All right, how about Joyce? Come on, we just one joint?
Yes, the rain stopped. We have sun today.
That's the best you can do. The rain has stopped.
Okay.
Anybody else? All right, thank you.
Let's pray for these requests. Lord, thank you that you hear us and that you care about us. You care for our needs. Lord, we don't know exactly all the cases that we're requesting prayer for here, Lord, and some asking for a boost and some asking for healing and thankful that they're able to come back to church. And Lord, you know each of our hearts, and you know each one of us by name, and you know each situation that we find ourselves in. Some may come in today, and they have been burdened this week by news that they've received, or they come in this morning very victorious, or that they've enjoyed the week and the sunshine and what you've given to them. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for each of these situations, Lord, that you would work. That you would, Lord, just bless each one, and thank you for what you have provided to us, and thank you for this service today. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless the rest of the service, the hymns, the music, the offering, and also, Lord, the sermon. And I'd like to ask everybody to join me in the Lord's Prayer this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There are two scriptural readings today, both of them from Hebrews. The first one is Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And this talks about the importance of faith. Personally, I don't know how anybody lives without it, but it does reinforce that we all need faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made but of things that are visible. And the second part of Hebrews 6, well, we can't please God without faith. And that's what the first line tells us. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whatever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And finally, we have Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And this verse simply tells us that we always need to look to Jesus for guidance. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who is for the day that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do not grow weary. Consider him who endured from the sinners such hostility against him, so that you may not grow weary
or think harder.
Thank you, appreciate that. You know, like I said earlier, it's good to be with you today, and you know, I thankful for the brother that said, why don't we have a sit down? Because you guys still might have been sitting down after the offering if you wouldn't have said something. So I appreciate that. So, you know, every July, there in Medina County on Medina Square, there's something called the Twin Sizzler event. Anybody heard of that at all? So, yeah. All right. So there's several events that occur that day. It usually happens on July 4th and at Medina Square. And they have this mile run, 5K run, a 10K run, and a 27-mile bike ride. You know, a few years back, I decided that to enter the 27-mile bike ride. Okay, my family lived in Medina at the time, and I had been riding my bicycle on the Buckeye Trail and 14 miles, and I said, I think I can do this. Not a big deal. I can ride 27 miles. No problem. You know, I do the online entry, and you know, you kind of get these little bibs that they have your number on it and everything. This happens to be my brother's, not mine, so I don't know where mine's at. But, you know, I show up at Medina Square. There are a few hundred cyclists there, and I show up at the registration table, got my race number, and I strap on my stuff and everything, and I'm ready to go. You know, you definitely can tell the serious cyclists that, you know, they wear the spandex and the racing uniforms, the aerodynamic helmets and the cool sunglasses and all that. And, the race organizers, they put us into groups, and I'm in the citizen group, which is fine by me. You know, again, I wasn't in it to impress anybody. But there's all ages and shapes and sizes and everyone with good intentions and ready to test their limits as have some fun, you know. That's what they tell us anyway at the beginning of a race. And, but 27 miles isn't for the faint of heart, you know, unless you've been practicing at it and everything. And that's a long ride, you know, especially if you're not prepared. I want you to know I did finish, obviously I'm here and everything's good. But it was my race and my pace, okay? By the time I was finished, I was physically spent. Okay, I was tired. 14 miles is not 27 miles. I guarantee you that. And it's not the same, especially when all I was doing was park system rides and you go over hills and everything in Medina County. Alright? I finished, but if you were to go back to the Medina Gazette of that year, though, you can look at all the entrants that finished with their times and everything. And if you scroll through the names, my name, Les McMahon, is on the list. It's the very last name in the list. Okay? Very last name that was listed there. You know, an editor probably was gracious enough to put wherever I fell into there, you know, that they put my name in there. But the Bible talks about a race of faith that all Christ followers are in. You know, it isn't an easy race. There will be distances and hills and challenges. You know, Medina County, if you didn't know it, I'm going to tell you this morning, it's hillier than you think when you're on a bicycle. But it isn't where you finish in the standings in your race of faith. It's important that you enter, get your faith started. But it's your race and your pace. But it's all by God's grace. You know, we think about that this morning, and as we read Hebrews chapter 12, as it was read for us, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so closely, and that clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint hearted. So let's set the context for that passage of Scripture. You know, here in the book of Hebrews, the Scripture tells us that Christ is better than any religious system. He's better than any sacrifices in the Old Testament. He's better than personal merit. Christ is better. However, we are reminded that it is a life of faith in Jesus, not the life of works that maybe some people try to, if I can just do enough to please God. If I could do this to please God. If I could hand this religious system to please God. But it's not that at all. It's God's grace through Jesus that gives us what we need. You know, in chapter 12, it starts with the word therefore. Whenever you see that in Scripture, the word therefore, it means, or wherefore, it also means in light of what just was said prior to this passage of Scripture. So if we look back to Hebrews chapter 11, this is what is referred to as the Faith Hall of Fame. You know, we see the big names of Scripture. If you attended church for a while and you've read some Scripture, you'll know of the story of Abraham and Sarah and Noah and Moses. But there's also a section of that passage in Hebrews 11 for the no-names of faith. They say they faced severe testing and they were persecuted in circumstances that rose up against them, yet they persevered. You know, Hebrews 11 has those powerful faith passages that were read to us there. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Or whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those that earnestly seek Him. Or maybe in some passages of the Scripture, it says diligently seek Him, or in some translations. You know, when we come back to Hebrews 11, the writer begins to talk about our life of faith. You know, chapter 11 was about all those that preceded us. I mean, some of you have been probably members of this church for a while, and you know that there have been many people that have come through the doors and they've showed their life of faith. But here in Hebrews 12, it begins talking about our life of faith. Let us run the race that's set before us. He isn't saying we have to run at the same pace as an Abraham or a Noah or a Sarah, because this is our race. Our faith in God through what Christ has done for us is what places us in the race. You know, as I entered the Twin Sizzler, I didn't get the same bib as somebody else. This is number 490. You know, I didn't get bib number 2 or bib number 313 or whatever. Because I entered the race for me. You know, the 5K or the 10K, I didn't enter that race. I entered the 27-mile bike race. And I received my bib for entry. So it was going to be my race and my pace. Chapter 12 begins there with some encouragement for us. It says, therefore, in light of those that have gone before us in faith, we can be assured that we can make it. That we can make it in this race of faith. You know, while I was doing the 27-mile bike ride, I was watching grandmothers, young kids, moms and dads older than me pass me. Okay? I shouldn't admit this, but, you know, my man was challenged a little bit, so I try to keep up with them. I use that as motivation. Look, if they can do it, I can do it. I wasn't able to keep their pace, though. I was going to have to ride my race at my pace, those 27 miles. You know, I this morning, I don't consider myself an Abraham from Scripture, where he packed up all his belonging and started going to a place that he'd never been hurt, that he'd never been, and, you know, as it was written about in the book of Genesis. However, this morning I was asked to drive from Strongsville, Ohio, to a church I had never been to and preach a sermon. You know, I'm not yet 75 like Abraham was, so who knows what my future might hold either. You know, Abraham started out at 75 years old. You may not be able or even asked to pack up and move to a new place, but your church is transforming. It's at a transforming stage, and you may need to step up in your life of faith to help out. You know, because Abraham in Scripture stepped out on a promise from God and obeyed, I can and you can step out in obedience to what God has asked you to do. You know, I haven't been asked to preach for 120 years and build a boat like Noah. But I've been asked to preach for 30, 40 minutes, and I drove my Impala down from Stronghold. So, you know, it's not quite a boat. There was only one of me. It wasn't 2x2 either. So, but anyway. But because Noah in Scripture believed in what God was doing to build this boat, you and I can build friendships and relationships that will bring to the life of Christ to people that we come in contact with. We will not have the same abilities as other people. You know, the choir this morning, they did beautiful, I thought. But I can't do what they do. But by using my strengths and my talents and my treasure and my time at my pace, I can finish knowing that what God's asked of me, I've done. Just as in Hebrews 11, and when it was the no names of faith, I pray that as people scroll in the next generation and look at the life of faith, and they scroll and down and see Les McMahon, you know, he had a little bit of faith, and he was able to follow what God asked of him. You know, that 27-mile bike ride, I wasn't number one, but I got my name on the list. You know, it's our race, it's our pace, but others before us have made it, so can we. So can we. You know, our race of faith, you know, our race and our pace will require that we look out for those things that will hinder us and those things that entangle us and cling to us, as the scripture says. It says, lay aside every weight. Those are the things that hinder you. You know, these aren't necessarily bad things, but these things hinder you. There are two things on my Twin Sizzler bike ride that nobody told me about. Probably one of them I should have known, you know, but anyway. My bicycle was not built for road racing. It was a mountain bike. So anybody knows about bicycles, the mountain bike has those big knobby tires. Those aren't necessarily made for road racing, okay? And I didn't take a bottle of water. You know, I don't know. Like I said, sometimes I do stupid things. But anyway, but it was July. Hot, 27 miles, no water, what was I thinking? All right, here. Both of those things hindered me in my race and my pace. I could still go forward, which I did, but it would have been much easier had I watched, you know, and maybe slowed down and looked and said, you know, that bike may not be a best 27 miler, and make sure you bring water, okay? It was a hindrance. I did ride 26 miles without water, but luckily Medina has some gas stations along the way, and I was able to stop and at least get some water, all right? And I was able to finish. In our spiritual race, there are things that aren't good for us, good for you, good for me, and you know it. You know it. I'm not the Holy Spirit in your life, so I'm not giving you a list, don't do this, don't do that, or whatever, but you know the things that hinder you in your spiritual life. For me, one of the hindrances, I can't watch certain things. I just feel kind of spiritually cruddy afterwards, and I know that it's the Holy Spirit telling me that's probably not something that's good for me. It was like riding 27 miles on knobby tires. Doable, but not the best ride for the race. Also for me, I need to be regularly in God's Word and in prayer and with His people. I'm not. It's like riding 26 miles without water. I'm parched. I'm not refreshed spiritually, and I don't feel like I can go another mile. I thought it was interesting here in Hebrews chapter 12, the Greek word underneath the, you know, the lay aside the weight also means easily avoided or admired. How many times could we easily avoid trouble or difficulty in our spiritual walk if we just lay aside the weights? How many times, if we could just stop admiring things, lingering and looking at something that we know will leave us parched spiritually? You know, notice the author here also mentions the sin which clings to us. Not really language that we use too much today, but clings can also be translated entangles or ensnares. You know, in other words, it's a trap. It's a trap. They are harmful and dangerous things to our spiritual Christian life. If we fall victim to them in our race, it hurts our testimony. It takes away from our race. It ultimately hurts the cause of Christ as well. You know, there are a couple times in the 27-mile ride that I saw bicycles beside the road and with bent tires and flats. And there was also a place that, as I was riding that race, that the EMS was out there and looking at somebody that had fallen and in a crash site. You know, there are many things that will hurt us, entangle us, ensnare us, that will make us crash. To avoid getting entangled in my own race, my wife, she knows where I've been on the computer. I want to avoid crashing in my spiritual life. Probably not the message you came to hear today, but at any rate, you know, there are some places I cannot go, and there's some things I can't do. Because I think they make me crash. They'll make me crash. Some may refer to it as conviction, and maybe not command, but that's okay. But for me, I don't want to not listen to my convictions, because I'll be sinning and I might crash. So let's continue in Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and sin which clings to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, our race and our pace will require that we stay determined to get through the rough stuff. You know, the word endurance used in the passage comes from the Greek word hupomene. It also means patience. Doesn't mean you sit and just do nothing and just have patience till it passes, but it means a strong determination, patience, to steadily go on and refuse to be distracted. The word race comes from the Greek word agona. Anybody ever kind of hear the word back in the background there? It kind of means agony as well. Run the race with endurance, patience, through agony. Basically, is what it says. It could be that we need to be determined to get through the rough stuff in our lives. There are times in our faith race that we're going to feel like quitting. You know, we've said, that's enough. I'm tired of this. I'm throwing in the towel. But my new friends, let me tell you, keep going. Keep going. You know, going back to my bicycle race in Medina, by the way, we hear all these references all the way throughout this message, but going back to the bicycle race in Medina, about the 20-mile mark, I remember it. I was dead. You know, I remember the stretch. It was just a flat stretch. I had actually stopped beside the road. I didn't realize, again, like Medina County is one of the hilliest places to ride a bike, but it wasn't the nice park system that I'd grown used to. In our life of faith, sometimes we like the easy stretches, don't we? We like the, you know, the nice rides. But you know, there are times that you just don't feel like it anymore. But there was a woman that came by as I was parked beside the road, and I didn't know her. But she yelled out these words as she went by. You can do this! Yes, that's what I needed. And this morning, you may have gone through the death of a loved one, or you may have gone through some health issues, or you may have had some financial issues, whatever it is, I'm going to yell out this morning, you can do this. You can make it. That was some encouragement that kept me going, and I want to be some encouragement to you this morning, saying, you can do this. You can make it. You know, a lot of times, you know, in the past 4 years, you know, I've lost both my parents. I had a hip replacement. I had a massive blood clot. I got a cochlear implant. You know, some things just wear on you, right? They just wear on you. And it hurts, and it doesn't feel good, and you just, But I'm glad that somebody yelled out, you can do this. You know, Medina County is very scenic. We saw that this morning as we drove into church. And there were parts of the race, though, that they were enjoyable and nice. I'm not saying that everything is agony in the spiritual race, but I'm saying there will be times that it will feel like agony. However, there are parts that you just have to endure and stay determined. You know, as we see in verses 2 and 3, we have the ultimate example of endurance. and being determined. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the easy ride. That's not what it says, is it? It says he endured the cross. That was a place of torture, despising the shame. People didn't treat him like he deserved. He got, you know, we just came out of the Easter season. If you watch some of the Passion and different things like that, we got a glimpse of what he endured. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, it may be our race, our place, but it's still God's grace. He's the founder. He's the perfecter of our faith. It's God's grace that we can look to Jesus. We don't have to do this on our own. We don't have to kind of like pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We can look to Jesus. You know, another translation of this phrase here is fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know, I come from the South and everything is fixing. Fixing to do this, fixing to do that. But here, you know, here I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. It means turning away from other things and only looking to Jesus. You know, I've done some hero worship in my time. And, you know, I've lifted pastors up farther than they needed to be. And I've lifted people up farther than they needed to be, only to be let down. Perhaps you've been in that situation as well. But my eyes need to be fixed on Jesus. You know, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, those two words don't seem to match. Joy set before him and endured a cross. Cross, shame, joy. Those don't seem to match. The cross brought disgrace and rejection and humiliation and torture and lies and unjust treatment. Yet Jesus looked beyond the cross for the joy. What kind of joy? How about this, that you and I could be forgiven? How about this joy, that you and I can have life and have it more abundantly? How about you and I having joy with the victory that comes from knowing Jesus? How about the security that we have in knowing Jesus? How about the perfect sacrifice that satisfied God finally? I don't have to bring an animal this morning. I don't have to bring a good works this morning. I can rest in the security that I have in Jesus. How about the love that he has for all of us? But we also see he looked unto Jesus. Why? Because he was able to sit down beside by the throne of God. His work was done. You know, we came out of the Easter season and said, it is finished. Hey, the work is done. Jesus has done it for us. He doesn't have to stand and sacrifice like the priests of old. You know, he offered himself once for all. That's what Hebrews also tells us. He is the ultimate example of enduring a race and determined to get through the rough stuff. So when we think we can't make it, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. One final thing. This is our race, our pace, but it's still God's grace. You know, during the 27 miler, I was looking at everyone else. I was comparing, trying to keep pace during the 27 miler. I was looking at hills and turns, dreading those, losing a bit of a desire. Maybe I can't finish. But one thing kept me going. I did want to finish. 27 miles. I haven't done it since. but, you know, I wanted to finish. I wanted to prove to myself I can do this or whatever. And I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I did get my name in the paper, too. You know, many finished. Actually, all those in the paper finished before me, but my name was there. My name was there. I couldn't ride everybody else's race. I had to ride my race. The entry fee was paid. I got my bib, got everything. But it was my pace, my race. You know, in my spiritual life, you know, you look at that, Jesus paid my entry fee. I accept that. Are you going weary? Are you ready to quit? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Perhaps you haven't entered the race yet. You know, we saw earlier, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin and left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. You know, over the past 2 years, I've watched spiritual heroes fall, and like I said, the death of my parents, a hip replacement, a major blood clot, a cochlear implant. Things that kind of zapped your spiritual strength for the race. But because of those that have gone before me, those that have gone before me in the spiritual race, I know I can make it. And despite all the things that would hinder me and all those things that would block me and make me crash, I can make sure that I turn and look to Jesus. And all those things that, you know, would weigh me down or whatever, it's still God's grace that will make me go through those things in true faith. You know, faith isn't, rah, rah, rah. If you were to look at some of those heroes of faith, they had doubts. They had questions. They had trials. Abraham even tried to help God out. And Noah, you know, 120 years. And what am I doing this for? Whatever. But you think about it. It's God's grace that will help us get through that stuff when we look to Jesus. May I offer a few words of encouragement for you. First, get in the race. Get in the race. What, you know, Jesus, like I said, has paid your entry fee and you can make it. Second, I'm going to be cheering you on. You can do this. And why don't you cheer each other on? You can make it. You know, it's wonderful that you shared prayer requests this morning, but maybe some of those people on the prayer request line need a phone call or something. Hey, you can make it. You can do this. It's your race, your pace, but it's only by God's grace that you can make it. You know, I try to make sure that people have an opportunity, and I'll be around for a little bit. If you have a need or something that you would like to talk to me about, feel free to talk to me. Now we're going to stop and close in the hymn, "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less." You know, you can build your hope on a lot of things. You know, your job, your family, and those are okay things, and those are good things. But ultimately, our hope needs to be built in Jesus. It needs to be built in Him.